This is an uncensored podcast about sex and sexual topics. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the person or persons sharing them. Some names have been changed to preserve the anonymity of its participants. Friends from now on, which is something that me and Priscilla always say to each other and Lexi. I miss Priscilla, so I'm gonna call her. I'm gonna start calling everyone my friends instead of my lovers. But you know, I do love you guys, and you can maybe we could be friends with benefits, friends with benefits. Welcome back, of course, to Make Sex With Me. I am your host, Drew Michael. And just a reminder before we get started, if you haven't yet, please go ahead and rate, review, and or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. We really need your support, and obviously that is how we can receive it. I'm here today with one of our special new friends. Hi, Chi-Chi. Should I call you Chi-Chi?
Yeah, you can call me Chi-Chi.
Oh my god, Chi-Chi. And you're friends with Priscilla.
Yes.
I was supposed to tell you that Priscilla is like having so much fun with your sister right now.
Oh my god. I love that. She's, oh yeah. Well, like, I don't think my sister's there. I know she's at her house in Montana.
Right.
I don't think my sister's there. Or maybe she is.
She left on Tuesday, I think.
Oh, okay. So she was there for a moment. Oh, okay. Cool.
She was there for like a cute moment. And Priscilla said that she's learning how to cut wood. And like, one of the neighbors was like, "You want to like tend to my bees with me?"
Ooh.
And she was like, "Yes."
But that's awesome.
I don't know if I would have said yes. I feel like I want to say yes, but I probably wouldn't.
But then you get free honey.
Yeah, I want to reach into a beehive and just take a bite out of some honeycomb, like just with it, like little bees still clinging to it. Like,
you could
but
do
I probably wouldn't.
You can make like an ASMR video. You know, those?
Like me. Yeah, but me being stung videos? Repeatedly while trying to eat honey. That would be great.
Yes. Yeah, that could be a whole new genre.
I love ASMR videos. And I thought that I would be more into them. There was these ones where, like, and they still have them, obviously, where, like, it's, like, boyfriend ASMR. Like, you're, like, falling asleep with some guy, like, just talking to you while you're falling asleep.
I would be like, kinda... shut the fuck up, I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, but it's, like... It's really cheesy. Like, I thought, like, this might be kind of hot. It's either cheesy or it's, like, actually kind of sexy. And when I get turned on, I don't, like, want to sleep. I'm like...
Yeah.
You know, now I have to watch porn.
Right. It's like, how can I sleep with you whispering dirty things in my ear? I can't.
Yeah. It's really dumb. But anyway, so do you get into ASMR at all?
Sometimes yes. I like the tapping on objects, and I also really like the personal attention ones. You know, like where they're like pretending to do your makeup or like do your hair. Like I actually really like that because like I realize like the first time I've like felt that like ASMR, which is like the what is it like I forget what it stands for. But it's like when I was a kid and people would like play with my hair, I would get like the tingles because it's like. I don't know what it is. Something about just, like, someone, like, touching my hair that just, like, is very, like, satisfying. But in a non-sexual way, because ASMR is very non-sexual, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's probably why I really like these like personal attention ASMR videos and tapping, but only tapping on like certain objects. Yeah.
I like the sound of acrylic nails like on each other.
Is that why you have is that why you have acrylic nails? Is that you can like
the only reason
ASMR well, for yourself?
I got these acrylic nails for my comedy show. It was on. It was like 2 days before Halloween, so it kind of just went with the costume. Are you like an avid Burning Manor? Burning Busher.
I guess like I've gone like 4 times, so like sure, but I'm also like I'm not the kind of person who like always talks about it because there's like certain people who are just like that's like their personality and it's not right. My personality, but
I see people go to Burning Man and have like the best time of their life. I feel like I used to be the person who was like I'll do anything once, and I feel like I'm not that person anymore. I also feel like I haven't been outside in, like, 3 years, so I probably, like, I don't know if I would do good in the middle of the desert.
Like, oh, my God, that shit's rough. It was so fucking rough. Like I'm, like, scared to go back next year because it was so rough. I'm like, I want to go, but I also don't because it was a struggle. It was so hot. It was so hot.
Yeah.
There's is it no AC.
And it's, like, direct sun. You're just, like... Oh, yeah. Hey, it's the salt. Is it like salt flats? Is it like desert?
It's like alkaline dust. So it like, it's not great. Like it's like it gets on your skin and like stays on your skin, and you just like it dries you out, and like it was. And yeah, of course, there's no shade. You bring your own shade. And yeah, it was hot as fuck. Wow. But it was fun, and I also decided to go kind of like on a whim, which I was, which was, you know, that was a task. So.
Yeah. I'm waiting for I always joke about this. Like I'm waiting for like a terminal diagnosis or something, and then I'll do shit like go to Burning Man and like try LSD and like, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like that movie. Have you ever seen that movie where Queen Latifah like gets a death sentence? Like she's like told she has got a brain tumor, and then she takes her life savings and she goes to like a fake European town and like lives it up for like a weekend.
What? I don't think I've seen that.
It's so good. I want.
Did it go like straight to DVD?
Yeah, probably. It was like made for home video. No, but then she finds out that like she's not. It was like the machine was wrong and she doesn't have a tumor. But she marries LL Cool J, and then they have like a Louisiana style restaurant. It's like really great ending. Nice. I know. So
I love that.
Anyone knows the name that movie, let us know.
I mean, YOLO, I feel like we need to YOLO it a little more.
We do. I'm waiting just to like, I mean, always. Okay. So I know a lot of people who are in the same boat as me, like, financially, which is, like, kind of living paycheck to paycheck, and they always seem to, like, take risks and, like, get good airplane tickets, and, like, they just are like, I'm gonna go on this trip, like, well, I'm not gonna want to do this when I'm, like, 70, so I'm gonna do it now, and so I think I need to be more like that, just, like, let's get an airplane ticket and then figure out how to make it work.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have said that when I was, like, 28, but...
It's never too late. It's never too late.
Yes. Never too late. I was also going to go to see Priscilla at your sister's house in Montana, and then I was like, how far is the airport from the house? And I was like, oh...
Like, I've actually never been, so I have no idea... And I'm sure Priscilla would be happy to pick you up.
She would. And I was like, how many bears live in the state of Montana? Like, not gay bears, but, like, actual, like, the revenant. I'm terrified of being mauled by a grizzly bear.
You'll be fine. You'll have, like, the dogs. Like, the dogs will protect you. Like, oh you're gonna be okay.
Dogs against bear. But you're right. I saw pictures of her dogs. They're so cute. I, like, want to just, like, dogpile with them.
Yeah. And then I think Priscilla's dog is there, too. So you have three dogs against a bear.
And I haven't seen...
A bear does not stand a chance.
sounds like we're talking about San Francisco. I am so jealous you live in San Francisco. Is it just like every day is fun, or is it just like, ugh, sometimes?
Well, it depends, like, what you choose to do every day. Most days I stay home because, like,
yeah.
You know, there's always stuff to do, but I'm kind of, lately I've been such a hermit. Like, I'm very much like, all right, I'm going to stay home, I'm going to save some money, I'm going to focus on my work. You know, I'm just very kind of like one track mind right now. So I'm not really like, you know, when I was younger, I'd be like, oh yeah, like I'm doing all the things, like going out, going to shows all the time. That stuff's always happening. However, I choose to be like, I'm going to stay home and just like play with my instruments and like, you know, be by myself. I'm very hermit mode right now, but there's always something happening.
That's so funny because I recently was just so busy and all the things I was engaged with were like things where I was like with a million people all the time. And I forget that like being alone is so important. Like, I get recharged from being with people, but like, that's like not always true. Like sometimes people take from me and I'm just like letting them take and I'm like, ugh, I feel so empty now.
Yeah. And it's not just about like being alone. It's also just being in solitude. You know, solitude is just like where you're like with yourself and it's not like, I'm alone. Nobody wants me. It's like, I'm with myself right now. And, you know, I'm taking care of me and like, you know, tending to my needs. And like, I love doing that.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite like self-care things? Like you mentioned, like having instruments that you like to play music with.
Yeah. Like playing music. You know, I like to, I listen to like podcasts.
Of course.
Like when I'm chilling. Yeah. I listen to podcasts. I haven't been taking naps as much lately, but like napping is great. Sleeping is great. Like just basic stuff, like stuff, nothing like too over the top, but like, I really don't watch like that much TV or anything. There's like only certain shows or whatever that I get like super into. But yeah, just like spending time with myself, playing Sudoku, doing work.
Yeah.
I know. I sound boring. Oh my God. Wow.
But you work from home, right? Like most of the time.
I do. Yeah. I work from home. So it's like, and I work for myself. So it's like, I don't really have coworkers. You know, I have like an assistant who works with me, but like, it's mostly just me, you know? So I'm by myself a lot. And, you know, I like text friends and stuff, but it's mostly just, you know, chilling with me and I'm glad to.
Let's take a commercial break and then we'll come back. So, you have a podcast.
I do.
And it's like really, really good.
Oh, thanks.
I've listened to it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you've listened to it. Yeah, I started it earlier this year. It's called The Sistriarchy Sessions. And it's like a women's empowerment podcast. And we talk about like self-love, social issues, spiritual growth and personal development. And right now I only have one season. And I do like kind of like some solo episodes and I do interviews as well. And yeah, it's on hiatus right now and I'm like really excited to bring it back. It just, you know, it takes a lot of time. So I'm kind of like, I'll probably bring it back, like start recording in December, like in a month from now. So I really enjoy doing it because I really like just kind of like having a platform to like talk and like say whatever the fuck I want and you know, and share with people. Like that's another thing is like I really want to like share and like uplift other voices as well. Like that's not just about me talking. Like I could do that, but I also want to like learn from other people and like share what they know with others. So it's super fun. Yeah.
And your podcast is like you said, it's sistriarchy.
Yes.
It's a little bit spiritual. It's definitely about like the female experience or the experience of people who consider themselves to be female or mostly female, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it sexy too sometimes?
It's like, it's not, well, there was an episode where I interviewed a woman about like self-pleasure. So yeah, it's a little bit sexy, you know. Yeah. I don't talk about my personal sex life because, you know, I don't think anyone really needs to know about that. I mean, like I could, but That's what this podcast is for.
That's what I'm doing over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like, well, and it's funny because my podcast started out as like an excuse to talk about sex because I moved to the South and I was like, oh my God, there's no one talking about sex around here. And then it quickly became just like an everything kind of podcast. I mean, like sometimes I have to say, oh shit, let's say something sexy right now because we've been talking about politics for the last 20 minutes. I was reading out of a book that you wrote part of. When was this book released?
September, like end of September.
Okay, so like really recently.
Very recent.
And it's a collection of bold stories by brave women, it says. And I really enjoyed the chapter you wrote about your experience with HSV-1, which I did not know was the name for herpes.
Yes.
Is there an HSV-2?
There is. So there's two types of HSV/herpes strains. HSV-1 is kind of mostly known as like cold sores, like oral herpes, like
which
60% of the population has. And it can, you know, spread to the genitals as well. And then HSV-2 is most commonly genital herpes. And I think those are the two differences. And I love that we're just jumping right into this part. So,
I didn't plan on that, but then I just
good.
Herpes.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that a lot of people don't know about herpes, and that's why there's so much stigma around it, is because there's just no information. Well, there's information, but just people don't know about it. There's no education about it. And that's why there's like, you know, it's always kind of like, it's not always the butt of the joke, but it is like, you know, it is used as the punchline a lot in a lot of comedy. Be like, oh God, like herpes. It's like, yeah. But like most people have it and they just don't know it.
Yeah. You know, I've heard that before. I heard that on like, have you ever seen that show Adam Ruins Everything?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
It's pretty good. But he had an episode where he mentions that. And I was like, of course, like, you know, mind blown. But what's so funny is like, I have some people I know, who were working in like the health department in like whatever city, and you know they had a long career there, and they aren't even like fully aware that that's the case. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I've heard from several like reputable sources that like herpes is incredibly common, and it's not curable, right? But like, it's not that bad in most cases.
It's like, it's very treatable and manageable. Like me personally, I've only had like my one outbreak, which was the first one. And since then, haven't had any. And like, I've also had, you know, partners like who I've been like, yo, this is what's going on, just FYI. And they're fine with it. And like, that nothing's ever happened. Like I've, you know, normally I will have protected sex, but I've also had unprotected sex. And that was, you know, they knew full well, like what was going on. So like, and I've never had any issues with it. But, you know, that's me personally. That's my personal story. Like, I can't speak for everyone. But, like, knowing that, like, it's not like you're just, like, constantly have these, like, blisters on your crotch. Like, it doesn't look like that. And because it's like that, like, a lot of people don't really know that they have it. Because, like, it can lie dormant in the body for many, many years before you have your first outbreak. So I really don't know when I first got it. It's really unclear because like, you know, in my book, I talk about like, you know, I went home with this guy and then like, you know, a few weeks later I had these bumps, but I can't really trace it back to like who it could have been. Cause like I was also sleeping with a bunch of other people, but I was using condoms at the time. So I was like, what the fuck? Like, how is that even possible? So it's like, did I have it before or is it from like oral sex or like, you know, whatever, whatever, like who knows? Cause you can get it like, you can get it if someone like has a cold sore on their mouth and they like give you perform oral sex on you, you can get herpes that way. And people don't know that. So,
and that's like, yeah. Oral sex is so often like what people say, like, oh, this is safe. Like,
right.
You know, we don't have to do the other stuff. We can just do some of this and, you know, right. Everyone will be good.
Like, you can still, I have a friend who had chlamydia up the throat twice. So like,
I just talked about that in my last episode. I have had gonorrhea in my throat once.
Oh.
Also, I don't know if this is true, but we had a friend when I was living in Seattle who allegedly had strep vagina.
Ow, that sounds so painful.
Yeah, and we were like, Monica, like, what are we gonna do about this? Like, maybe we should make like a granola, like, oatmeal based like cream or pack for like your vagina or something to make it better. Oh, I don't know why we said oatmeal, but
maybe because like oatmeal is soothing for the skin. Yeah, I don't really. Well, that sucks. I hope she got better.
I mean, honestly, they're viruses. And, of course, they could get into other orifices, like, I'm sure you could get, like, chlamydia in your ear. Well, I don't know about your ear.
Well, like, anywhere there's, like, a mucousy membrane, like, your eye, your mouth, your genitals, like, anywhere there's a mucousy membrane, like, you can get viruses. And, like, and another thing is that, like, that's the thing with, like, STIs. They're just so common. And, like, if you're a sexually active person who's consenting to sex, like, you are probably going to get an STI at some point in your life.
Yeah.
If you're having sex.
I'm absolutely there's no way I don't have, like, herpes or, I mean, I probably, I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. What's that other one that everyone's getting?
HPV.
Yeah.
Had that at one point. Yeah, I had HPV. And like I got like I don't know how long ago it was, like before I went to college, I got like the Gardasil, which is like the HPV vaccine.
Yeah.
And the thing is it protects against like a certain number of HPV strains, but there's also like thousands of HPV strains. So like, you know, at one point in my life I had HPV and it went away. Like it goes away. Like it's self-treating. It's such an odd, I don't really understand that virus. It goes away on its own. But it's also like, you know, if you have, that's why it's ladies, if you have a uterus, it's very important to get pap smears because, HPV can cause cervical cancer. So like I had to go in and get like, it's called a colposcopy, where they like snip a piece of your cervix to like make sure that it's like everything's fine. And if you have like HPV, and like HPV is so common. And like that's the thing is like there's also like when you go in to go get an STD test, like if you get like a standard panel, they'll test for like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and like maybe syphilis. I don't even think they test for syphilis, which is probably why it's like spreading so much these days. They test for gonorrhea, chlamydia, and like, you know, HIV. I think those are like the standard. And you have to ask to like test for other STIs and like I think that's why there's like so many that are spreading. Cause it's like, that's why a lot of people don't know they have HSV cause they don't test for it. And, even if they like tested your blood for it, like, they don't know what kind you have. So you might test positive for HSV1, but it could be just like oral HSV1 or, you know, it could be the genital. So it's not clear unless you have like an outbreak or a cold sore, like where the HSV is. So, you know,
and
moral of the story, everyone has it.
Right, exactly. And there's other also viruses that you can get sexually that aren't technically sexually transmitted illnesses. Mm. Like the monkeypox virus is one that just came up. And I was just thinking as you were talking that I haven't said the words monkeypox in like maybe 3 months. But before that, I was saying it like daily, all day long, like, oh my God, monkeypox. Although it's not that big of a deal because it's not like apparently spreading like other things, but if you get it, apparently it can be a really big deal. Like,
oh yeah,
ugh.
It's gnarly. I think we freaked out about monkeypox because like we're still the kind of reeling from COVID, you know. So we're just like, oh fuck, not another one, and like it doesn't sound fun. Like, actually, I know, like, a friend of mine, he knew 10 people who had monkeypox. And I was like, holy shit, that's a lot of people, like, to know personally that has it.
But were all those 10 people linked to each other? Like, did they...
I'm not really sure if they're linked to each other. Probably. I mean, like, they were all his friends. So, like, they're linked in that way. So, like, and I'm not saying it's from that person, but, like, he knew 10 people who had it. And because that was around the time, like, I think it was, like, July or June, July, whenever. Yeah. June, July. That's kind of, like, when it was, like, popping up. But I think, like, you know, once people, like, knew about it and, like, you know, people could take, like, preventative measures. You know, we were able to, like, respond in a quick way to, like, prevent the spread.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
So I kind of, like, I'm kind of jumping into all of this, like, ass backwards, like I always do.
It's fine.
But, I mean, you don't just talk about HSV-1 in your book. You talk about all of the things in your life that kind of led up to what you called, well, a series of slutty phases, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's, like, to, like, rewind, you know.
When were you born?
When I was born in 1988. January 22nd. You know, I talk about how I, like, struggled with my body image, like, growing up. You know, ever since I was a little girl, I kind of, like, I knew I was a fat kid, you know, that was just, like, really obvious, especially because, like, people would point it out to me. And, you know, so I, like, dealt with, like, body image issues a lot of my life. So I had a lot of, like, self-loathing in that way. And then, you know, I also just really, like, you know, when you get to that, like, age where, like, people start dating and whatever, it's like, you know, I really wanted to, like, be loved by somebody. And, you know, I just, like, really wanted, like, a guy to love me and, like, to pick me. And I was never, like, chosen in high school and, like, middle school, high school. I was, like, you know, never asked out to any proms or whatever. I didn't have a boyfriend until I, like, graduated high school and I, like, met this guy and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in love finally. And I was, like, so happy. I was like, oh my God, this is the best. And then like we broke up. It was, like, really toxic, of course. And, you know, and then, like, you know, I wasn't a virgin when we met, but, like, afterwards, you know, I was in college. I was like, you know, after you break up with someone, like, what do people usually do after you break up? You're kind of like, I'm going to go fuck everyone, you know, just to prove something to myself. And you think that's going to, like, make you feel better about the heartbreak, but, like, really it doesn't. You're just, like, looking to fill the void and, like, you know, you're proving that you're still desirable to other people. So you're like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to go fuck a bunch of people. So, like, I did that. I did that in college and, like, you know, it was fun at the time, but I also, like, got myself into, like, really shitty situations. Mm-hmm. So, like, that continued kind of, like, the whole cycle of, like, getting in a relationship and then, like, breaking up and then just being a slut. And, like, I'm not slut shaming at all. Like, I have zero regrets from my slut phase. Like, I had a lot of fun. However, you know, I realized that I was seeking external validation from men because, like, I didn't actually, like, love myself, because it's like, I didn't love myself. So I was constantly seeking it in other people. And that's kind of like, okay. And then, like, you know, fast forward to, like, you know, later in my 20s when I, you know, have my HSV diagnosis after, like, being in, like, I don't remember what number slut phase this was, but I was in also another slut phase. you know, it kind of comes and goes, you know, sometimes the phases, they come and go. And I was in like another slut phase. I think I kind of want to call it my Saturn return slut phase.
I love that.
Yeah.
SLS.
Yes.
Murphy.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Yeah.
Phase.
And, yes, I was like, wait, are those the letters? Yeah. And then, yeah. So, like, after I had my diagnosis, I was like, well, nobody's going to fucking want me now. Like, you know, my life is over. Like, you know, I hate my body. And, like, now I have this, like, skin condition that makes me undesirable. And that's when I was like, you know, and I, you know, was kind of like wallowing in that for, like, several months, you know, like, mm-hmm. it was really difficult to confront, like, just, like, to to like deal with that at the beginning. And I think a lot of people who have their initial diagnosis, like they're all in that same situation because, you know, we have this idea of herpes as some like disgusting, like skin condition that only like really gross people have. And it's like always like a joke about like people, like, you know, people make jokes about like prostitutes or whatever, like loose women as like, oh, she probably has like all these diseases. And it's like, oh my God, everyone who has sex has fucking STDs. It's not that big of a deal. Anyway, so yeah, so like you kind of like feel like, okay, well, no one's ever going to come near me again. And so that's when I kind of realized that I needed to like start working on myself, like being like, okay, like, but what's the truth here? Like, are people going to want to be with me because of like my body or because of who I am? And like, if like a guy likes me and he like is like repulsed by like, you know, a skin condition that I have, is he someone that's worth being in my life? You know, do they deserve to be near me? Because it's like, you know, I'm a great person, you know, I'm a, you know, whatever. You know, it doesn't change who I am as a person. Like this, you know, this virus that I have that most people have, like, it doesn't change who I am. And so, and it doesn't define me. So, you know, that's kind of when I went on my healing journey and I, you know, that's, you know, I realized that like, oh, I need to like work on my body image issues and like, you know, my inner child stuff. And, you know, just went through this whole process of like growth and transformation. And it also, you know, this whole growth and transformation process also led me to realize what my calling was, my purpose was in this life. And it's to help other people change their relationship with their body and food because of, you know, because of what I went through. I realized like, okay, yeah, these aren't things that like happened to me in my life. They happened for me in my life. So now I can take the lessons that I've learned and the wisdom that I've gained and use it to help others because I know that so many other people struggle with this. So many people, you know, and I think people are now finally starting to talk about it a lot more, and which is amazing, you know, and I think it's, you know, I'm fucking sick of like, you know, people hearing the message that they need to look a certain way in order to be like loved or be worthy because it's certainly not true. And it's the society that we live in. It's the, you know, it's the patriarchal capitalist white supremacist oligarchy society we live in, all of that yeah. Bullshit. And it's like, you know, I want us to free ourselves from it because it, you know, and I mostly work with women, and of course I absolutely realize it affects men as well. And like I would love to start working with men like in the next year, because we all suffer from it, we all do. And like, these are all things that we impose on ourselves. And it's like, why are we doing this to ourselves? Wouldn't you rather like live happily and free and like stop worrying about like what your body looks like and what you're eating? Like, wouldn't you rather just like enjoy your life and like live your life with purpose rather than like focusing so much on like being ripped and having a six pack?
Yeah. Because we're energetic yeah. beings. Like, we're here yes. to experience. We're not here to put on a show for everyone else, you know, like to get their approval, really, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I highlighted a passage in your book. You say our culture is so obsessed with sex that we are defined by how much sex we are having and how often we are having it. Our generation places our value on how sexually desirable you are. The number of people you sleep with defines who you are as a person. If you're having sex, that means you are valuable. I love that because, and it's so much of your story is so relatable, although like, I'm not sure if you always felt like your experience was one that other people were having. Cause I think when we're having, like you mentioned being, feeling like an ugly duckling, and I've always felt like that too. But I definitely have issues with like I was telling someone in a previous episode recently that, I could just have a guy tell me he wants to sleep with me and be like, oh, good. Okay. Bye. Like, all I wanted was to know you wanted to. And now like, I don't actually know if I want to, you know, which is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Because then he's like, oh, wow.
I don't know if I've ever said that to a guy. More often than not, I have gone through, like, the full sexual experience with a person that I really didn't necessarily want to have sex with. Just because right. my feeling was that I didn't want to upset them.
You know? Interesting. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've definitely slept with people who I'm just like, oh, my God, why did I do that? Just to be like, make myself feel better that I'm like, oh, my gosh, someone wants to sleep with me? Okay. And then you're like, afterwards, you're like, oh, shit, like, regrets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then dealing yeah. with the aftermath, like, being alone with yourself after that and being like, oh, shit, I don't feel good.
Right. Right. And that's the thing is that, like, I think that we think that we need to exist to be sexually appealing to the opposite, the sex that we're attracted to. Like, that's what we live for. You know, that is that is what we need to be doing at all times. And yeah, I feel like, you know, I think that whole, like, emptiness after, like, just, like, sleeping with somebody and having them leave, like, isn't talked about enough. It's like, yeah, like, after I had all these one-night stands, or, you know, whatever, like, I felt fucking alone, you know, because I was alone, because they would just leave, and then, you know, I'd be like, all right, well, it's just me now, still, you know, and then you hope that it's going to fill a void, and then, and it doesn't. I mean, but, you know, it really depends, because, like, some people are just like, yeah, I just want to fucking have them go, that's fine. I'm not saying, like, you know, we can't be having one-night stands, but, like, I think asking yourself, like, okay, why do I feel the need to, like, just sleep with a bunch of people?
Yeah. Well, I used to call the experience boyfriend for the night. Like, you would just, like, both people were like, let's just pretend we're dating for just tonight. And then tomorrow we'll just go our separate ways. I think I'm better at doing that now. Maybe not. But, like, because I'm more non-monogamous nowadays. But I think before I would say that's what I wanted, but I was always like, wait, but you're going to come back, right? You're like, no.
Yeah.
We had an understanding. This is right. only for tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I think at least, like, there is that communication up front where it's just like, this is a one night stand. Whereas I think, like, maybe with, like, heterosexual situations, it's like not, you know, I think there tends to be the idea that, like, the woman wants more, you know, from these interactions, which is not always the case, but, like, sometimes it is, you know, but, and so, like, you know, once you have these, like, one night stands, like, you know, or whatever, like, everyone has their reason for, like, wanting to sleep with someone. It's like, oh, maybe they'll like me. But then it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, there's definitely a bit of a void, unless you're just like, yeah, that was a one-time thing and we're moving on. Like that's good that you have that, like, agreement beforehand. But then it's like, I don't know, like, what is it that we really want when we go into these situations? I mean, for me, like, moving forward, I'm much more intentional about who I give my time and energy to. I don't just sleep with anyone anymore, because it's like my time and my energy is sacred. And not everyone, not just anyone can have it, you know? Like, and, like, if that means I'm not having sex with people, that's fine, you know? Like, I'm kind of, like, I'm only allowing those who are, like, deserving of that to, like, enter my space because, you know, you know, that's just my choice these days.
And a big part of being deserving of that is wanting that. Like, if somebody wants to possess some of your time, like, in a really meaningful way. Like, that's what you're looking for, people that are interested in investing in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have this saying where it's how I kind of, like, judge whether or not, like, I have time for someone. It's if you're not adding value to my life or money to my bank account, I don't have time for you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, move on.
I feel like I say that to my boss, like, pretty regularly. I'm like, have you paid me yet? Why are you talking to me? Well, and one of the things was, I think we talked about before when we had a talk before this recording, was this idea that, like, if being happy, like, alone means I'm not having sex, like, then I'm not having sex. Do you find that since you kind of got more spiritual and started healing, that you're having, I don't want to say less sex, because you're probably having more intentional, meaningful sex, right? And, like, you're just not having all of the stupid sex that wasn't really benefiting you.
Totally. Yeah. It's like I'm much more intentional now with, like, who I allow into my space and give my time to. I mean, like, also, like, part of this journey was becoming sober. And, like, a lot of, you know, promiscuity was fueled by alcohol, you know, like, you know, I was much looser, like, not like I'm a loose woman. It's just more like I was less inhibited. So I would just, like, you know, literally pick whoever. And, like, my standards were much lower at the time. I guess I'll just say it that way. Now I have much higher standards. So, and I have better judgment.
I also think that if you're like a decent looking woman, if you're drunk and you go up to a guy and you're like, hey, what's up? Like, I feel like a lot of guys just want to have sex with people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I could literally, if I really wanted to have sex with someone, I could literally just walk out my door, find a guy, be like, let's fuck. And they'd say yes. Like, it's not that it's hard to find someone to have sex with. It's definitely hard to find people who are like quality people to have sex with. So, like, yeah, like, that's the thing. It's like, if I, you know, back in the day when I was like a big slut, like, I would literally just like see a guy, like, or not even see them, because, like, you know, I would just sense a guy near me. I probably couldn't see shit at the time.
You were using echolocation to get dates.
Yes. Be like, oh, here's a man. It's like, okay, you're semi-okay looking. And then, you know, just like a friend of mine called it like my dirty girl dance, where I just like do my, you know, you grind up on the guy and then, like, you know, all of a sudden you're going home with them.
Oh, perfect. I need to learn that one.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's funny, because I was going to ask you about the drinking. I mean, you talk about drinking a lot in your book, and it's funny because I was sober for 3 years at the end of my 20s, and then when I went back to it, I just felt like my life had shifted enough where I didn't really have an issue with drinking anymore. But I started to realize that, like, I had never had sex without alcohol in my system. And so in those 3 years, it was the first time I was ever having sober sex. And there was a lot of awkward shit there, like, a lot to unpack. I even had to go see, like, a sex therapist who, like, taught me how to bottom, because I'd always been, like, just drunk.
Because it's like, I, you know, that's, like, many, many years of just being conditioned in that way to, like, and that's so interesting, especially since, like, sex is, like, so intimate, and, like, to finally be, like, fully present for that must have been, like, such an interesting shift for you.
It was. I mean, I think because I was sober, I was bringing to the bedroom maybe higher caliber situational, you know, partners. But I don't know, like, there was things that were intense. There was things. Okay. So when I got sober, I experienced, like, the experience of having, like, multiple emotions come up at the same time and being really confused about what I was feeling and being like, and so there were a lot of times that would happen in sexual situations, and especially for guys in sexual situations, like, you just lose your arousal. You're just like, if you get too many thoughts in your head or too much emotion that's not focused on what you're doing in the bedroom, you just kind of lose the arousal. So I just be in there like, ugh, I'm not into this anymore. And you're still here.
Oh. Wow.
Hello.
It's like, okay.
Can we order pizza? You can go.
Yeah. It's like, let's just cuddle.
Let's cuddle.
That's so,
like,
interesting.
Only for tonight. Yeah, I mean, I definitely had my slutty phases, and I'm trying to think. I think I had a slutty phase when I was sober. I had like a friend who I had feelings for, and we were, like, really close, and then I expressed my feelings, and then he was like, I can't reciprocate, and then I was like, okay, bye, and then I slept with everybody. And I still think I know who gave me gonorrhea in my throat, but it's probably not, I probably can't tell, but I think it was this one guy, and I hate him.
Oh.
I mean, I hate him anyway, what? But like.
Yeah. I was like, do you hate him because of the gonorrhea, or is it something else?
Well, I don't know. There was a weird time, too, because like, they had no idea what was going on. I was sick for like weeks with this sore throat, and no, I had no idea what it was, and this doctor was like, I'm going to give you like a really intense, like, you know, round of antibiotics, and if this is mono, you're going to get like really sick.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh, is it mono? She's like, I don't know. I can't tell what it is. And I was like, oh my God, can you swab my throat and like look at it? Possible. But I think they just wouldn't have thought to look for that there. So
right.
It was really awkward.
Yeah.
It was really weird. But yeah, I was sober that whole time. I remember because I went to my friend's wedding. I had to fly to Chicago with gonorrhea in my throat to go to a lesbian fake wedding, and because at the time it wasn't legal. And I was like really sick. I was like, I can't believe I'm going on an airplane right now.
Oh shit!
It was so much. So those are my 20s.
Yeah. Oh my God. 20. You're 20. Not your 20s, but like people's 20s in general is like messy.
So much fun, but so messy, especially towards the end. And
yeah,
I always felt like, cause okay. So I connected with you a lot. First of all, I was also a dancer. So I connected with that. And I connected with the feeling of not getting, not having relationships, not having sex when everyone, all my friends were having sex and having relationships. And so in my 20s, I felt like I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I'm in my 30s, I kind of feel like I'm in my 20s. Like it's, I just feel stunted because I didn't have a lot of those experiences. Like when I feel like I should have.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, everyone is on a different timeline, you know, like these, we like make up these like arbitrary, like milestones for people, right? It's like, oh, by this time we should be doing this, but it's like, yeah, but that's all made up. So
that's true.
So don't like be hard on yourself. It's like you're on your own journey in your own timeline. There's no specific time we're supposed to be like experiencing things. It's like it just happens when it's meant to.
Agreed. I definitely think that now. But you know, when you get to like the latter half of your 30s, you start to think like, and that's another thing too, like just like, you know, you're kind of talking about how time is just kind of made up. It definitely is made up. Like, age is made up. Like, I'm not looking at 40, but I'm kind of looking at 40. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's a huge discrepancy in my mind of, like, who I am now and how close I am to 40. It's just like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And that's, like, in a lot of ways. Like, physically, I don't feel like I even look 40. And I don't know if I'm going to hit a wall, like, sometime next year and just drastically look older. Or, like... I'm not really sure.
How old were your parents when they got married?
Okay, so my parents were, like, real young. They were, like, 21, 20 when they got married.
Yeah. That's a thing. And, like, how old were they when they had you?
So I was the last of four children. My mom was 38 and my dad was like 42 or 43 when they had me.
So like, you know, we kind of see our parents' timelines and kind of compare ours to theirs. It's like, you know, by the time my mom was my age, she was probably having me as well. So it's like, I'm the third of three. So like, We're like, oh, we probably are supposed to be married and have kids and like all this other shit by now because that's what our parents were doing. And that's probably why we feel kind of like we're not where we're supposed to be in life because we see like what our parents were doing and we're like, oh, that's strange.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even imagine having a child when I was 21.
God, no. Oh, my God, no. Oh, no. That would be so bad.
I would have been the worst parent. Like, I would have probably been nice to them, but, like, I would have been gone all the time.
Yeah, and, like, think about, like, how you were emotionally at the age of 21. Like, you're still emotionally developing. Your brain's still developing. And then you're raising a fucking child. Like, that's another thing is it's, like, you know, imagine trying to, like, figure out how to raise a kid at the age of 21. It's like, our parents didn't know what they were doing.
Like, oh, my God. It's so crazy. And, like, historically, people were always having children when they were still children. It's like nobody was given the chance to grow up. And it's like, no wonder it took forever for the world to, like, and we're still getting it together, but, like, you know.
Right.
We're just monkeys. Yeah. We're really just animals.
We are. I mean, I think that our generation is definitely healing a lot of generational trauma. Like, and I feel like our generation is really the first generation to actually, like, talk about. I mean, I've never heard generational trauma until, like, fairly recently. Maybe it's been a thing, but, like, I mean, it's been a thing, but at least, like, something that's been, like, in the public discourse, like, not so much until, like, fairly recently. So, you know, I think even though, you know, things are seemingly taking longer, I think it's because I think humanity overall is evolving, but like there's also some that aren't. I'm not saying like every human is, but if you're describing like in a general sense, like I think a lot of people are evolving. There's also a lot of people who aren't, like let's be real about that. But, you know.
Yeah, I live in the South. I know. Do you feel a lot of, like, expectation to, like, get married and have kids? Or is that something that you freed yourself of?
Oh, I really don't feel any expectations. Like, my parents, they're, like, pretty, you know, for Asian parents, they're pretty great. You know, they don't expect anything from me, like, other than to be, like, you know, to be happy and healthy. Like, they're not like, oh, when are you gonna have kids, when are you getting married? Like, obviously they, like, you know, they just want me to be happy. And it's like, if that's unmarried, that's great. If it's married, great. You know, like, they're not gonna, like, pressure me either way. And, like, I'm sure, like, yeah, they would be really happy if I had, you know, children, because they love kids. And, you know, of course. But they're also not like, when are you gonna have kids? Like, like, we're waiting. My brother, he's like, your niece and nephew are ready for cousins. And I'm like, cool. Like, well, either, like, help me find a rich husband or help me make millions of dollars. Then we can talk. Cause, like, it's so expensive to have kids.
So expensive.
So expensive.
So expensive.
But, I am gonna get my eggs frozen, just in case, you know, I want to leave that door open in case I want to have kids, but, you know, I'm not like, oh my God, I have to have kids. Just like, and I'm not like, oh my God, no kids for me. I'm just like leaving that possibility open. And I'm also like open for adoption, open to adopting as well. Because, you know, I think I would, I mean, I don't know if I'd make a great parent. Like, I think I'd make a decent parent. Like, I'd at least be able to like raise good people, you know? Like, that's the thing is I'm like, oh shit, like maybe I do need to have kids or like raise children to like raise the next generation of like humans on this planet, because like only some people are breeding and it's not the people that should be breeding. So that's why I'm like, oh shit, maybe I do need to raise kids.
Oh my God. The wrong people are having too many children. They're like, each family has like an average of 6 children, and it's like, please stop.
Have you heard of this like replacement theory?
I have. And I forget what it means.
So it's like basically like, I forget who came up with this, but they're just like some white supremacists. They're saying that like white people are going to be like, you know, I think like they're afraid that like white people are being like taken over in the population. Yeah. So they need to like reproduce. They got to reproduce because they're going to be replaced. And it's like, dude, if you look at like the rest of the globe, like the non-white people outnumber the white people. But anyway, they don't know that.
They don't know how many millions of people live in Asia and Africa.
It's like people exist outside of America. And a lot of them are non-white. So anyway, but yeah, that there's like this like great replacement theory. And it's like, they need to like, oh, white people need to like make more white babies because they're being outnumbered. And it's just like, so what? Yeah. like what? Who cares? But like, you know, if you're a white supremacist, you care. But
oh my God.
But that's a thing.
Well, and it's also like we live in the last, well, it's not exactly the last continent to be fully colonized, but we live in one of the last ones, and so there's still so much space that doesn't have houses on it yet, and although it doesn't feel like that where I live, because right now it's like exploding with like people that moved out of the city and want to like live near the beach, but it's just like in other parts of the world, there's nowhere to go left or right, there's nowhere to go front and back, there's nowhere to go higher, like they have so many people that like they don't know what to do, and like we in this country just think, I mean I don't, but and probably not you either, but like some people in this country think that like there isn't an overpopulation issue in the world, and it's like no, there definitely is. And you need to stop having 6 children per family.
Yeah. Yeah, and they also don't realize that, like, the natural resources of this planet are finite. Yeah. And that we're running out. We're running out of clean water. We're running out of, like, clean air. It's really fucked. So they don't...
It's so fucked.
And they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. It's so fucked.
Well, because they're like, well, that can't be true because I look in my sink and clean water comes out. It's like, yeah, for you. Like, you don't know how lucky you are to have that luxury of water coming out of a
totally.
Sink.
Totally. Yeah, to, like, turn on the faucet and clean water comes out. Like, people take that so for granted.
Or, like, you can have sex and get an STI and then get treatment for it. In other countries, they can't.
Right.
Like,
yeah, they'll just have to die.
They'll just have to die from something like syphilis, which no one should be dying of syphilis these days. Like, it just doesn't...
No.
It's
no.
Like not fair.
We have ways to cure it. Yeah, I got a UTI one time from, like, a night of, like, I had, like, sex with this guy, and then like the next day I was like leaving for a camping trip, and like I didn't have time to like go home and shower before leaving for this camping trip. I just like went post-coitus basically, and you know, I'm outside camping, I'm peeing in the woods, whatever, and I like come back and I like had like a UTI, and I was like trying to treat it like with like the natural way, like, with like cranberry juice. Yeah, no, cranberry juice. And then like, you know, a week later, it just like kind of got worse. And like, I started like feeling pain in my back, and I was like, oh shit, like it's really bad. And I went to the ER and they're like, yeah, you have a kidney infection. I was like, oh fuck. And so, yeah, but you know, they gave me antibiotics, but like, you know, if I was like, shit, like if I didn't have access to antibiotics, I would die. Like I would just straight up die of kidney failure.
Oh,
so,
God.
Moral of the story, always pee after sex and then wash your cooch.
And maybe
stop camping.
I don't know. Like I want to.
No. Don't stop camping, but definitely pee after sex. I don't think I peed after sex. That is like number one rule, pee after sex. And I didn't do that. And then I didn't shower for a few days because I went camping. Oh God. Then I ended up with a kidney infection because I didn't go to the doctor right away. And that's another thing. It's like, you know, I was trying to do it the natural way. Yeah, like there's a time and place for the natural way. It's not when it comes to infections. There's no natural way to get rid of a fucking bacterial infection. You need the medicine. And like, I'm all about like holistic nutrition or whatever. But like, I'm also like, yeah, take antibiotics if you need it.
Definitely.
Like, don't fuck with
Definitely.
That.
Definitely. I mean, I think that holistic stuff is good for, you know, preventative care.
Yeah.
Or if you're like a really powerful witch or shaman, maybe you could cure a kidney infection, but I'm not either of those things. So.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I don't have time to find a shaman to cure me of that. It takes time to like go to a shaman. You can't just like call them on up and get treatment.
1-800-SHAMAN. The last shaman I encountered, like, put a spell on my friend, and they were, like, in this really abusive relationship for, like, a whole month, and then he finally, like, broke free of this guy's, like, you know, sex spell, and he was like, oh my god, I don't even know what happened, and I was like, this is insane. It wasn't, like, really a spell. He was just really hot, and my friend was, like, in love with him instantly, and then, like, did whatever he wanted.
I have so many questions. Shaman put a sex spell on this person?
It was, like, what? He was so hot, and, like, he was a little bit of a sociopath, and he, like, he's the perfect person to start a cult.
I'm sorry, that does not sound like a shaman. A shaman would not do that.
Well... He said he was a shaman.
Then he's not a shaman.
He also met him, like, in Manhattan. So, like, obviously, there's not a ton of shaman in Manhattan.
Was he white?
Shamans. He was also white.
Okay, he's definitely not a shaman.
He was a white shaman. The white wizard of the West. He was, like I said, he was just so hot, but he, like, was even, like, playing off of, because, like, I was a yoga teacher, my friend was a yoga teacher, he was playing off of, like, this whole, like, you know, oh, you have to live Ayurvedically, and, you know, you need to retain your seed, like, not have orgasm, and so he, like, and then he was like, you shouldn't be eating anything that's not vegan, and, like, so he just, like, really messed with my friend's head. My friend is apparently, like, in his 50s, but he acts like a 16-year-old girl. He's just very impressionable. But yeah, like, I was kind of like, girl, I can't save you. Like, you're just too old. I can't do it. Like, you have to just get out of this one on your own. I will see you in a month. Oh. And he was like,
oh my god, you abandoned your friend.
Kind of. I mean, I saw him every day, but I was just like,
you need to set healthy boundaries.
Yeah, it's like, you're acting a little crazy, and I have a feeling that you should be able to get out of this on your own.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even have naked pictures of you. Like, come on. There's no...
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know. I need to meet, like, maybe a better shaman. Maybe a brown shaman.
That is not... Yes, because let me tell you, that white man in Manhattan is not a shaman. That's not... Because shamans would never do that. They would never do that. It's just, like, a white guy who, like, is, like... is super spiritual, and he's like, oh, I'm very spiritual, therefore I am a shaman. Yes, like, that's the kind of person he is. And those people, I don't fuck with those people, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't fuck with a lot of people. I mean, I'm sure he's done ayahuasca in upstate New York or something, but, or like a cacao ceremony, but I'm just like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not retaining any semen for you, mister.
I mean, I did ayahuasca recently.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was that like? Was it fun?
It was amazing. It was fucking amazing. It was a really incredible experience. And it changed. I mean, yeah, it's definitely, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of changed my life. Like, I mean, like, you know, I've just been on this, like, healing journey for, like, many, many years now. And it's kind of just a way of, like, kind of reaffirming the work that I'm doing and just, like, encouraging me to, like, continue, because, like, not only have I been, like, on a healing journey for myself, but now I'm, like, on a journey to help others heal. So, like, that's kind of, like, the direction my life is going in now. And, like, you know, I'm a huge empath, so, like, I really do, like, feel other people's, like, emotions, especially their pain. I definitely got a lot of great, like, insights and just, like, reminders from spirit. And it was a beautiful experience. Like, I cried a lot. I released a lot. And it was just, yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I want to have, like, a thing like that. I mean, I haven't done any drugs. Like, I used to do cocaine sometimes when I was, like, you know, in my 20s. But I've never done, like, shrooms or... I haven't even done edibles. Like, I'm, like, so... I've been a drinker, and, like, that was kind of my thing. Mm. But I would like to try LSD or mushrooms.
Mushrooms are great. LSD is fun. But, you know, I would suggest, like, being in a comfortable setting. So I don't think Burning Man is a great place to try it for the first time because it's such a rough environment. But, like, do it... Like, for mushrooms, I recommend doing it in nature because, like, it's just so beautiful to be surrounded by nature just because you just feel really connected with it, with mushrooms. Yeah. So nature is always a good place for mushrooms. LSD, I mean, you could do it anywhere. Just as long as you're around good people.
I think I'm going to do it at, like, one of those, like, centers for healing where they, like, you lie in a bed and they hold your hand and then you cry and then you say crazy shit. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I'm all about, like, people using these medicines to heal because, you know, our world needs so much healing right now. Like, fuck. Shit is fucked.
It really is.
Shit's fucked. But as long as we stay committed to our healing and our transformation, we're going to be okay.
I agree. And I think not even everyone. I think if, like, 50% of us are trying our best to heal, like, that's it's enough to heal the whole world. I don't think we're there yet, but I think it's so powerful that we just... one time I sat, and maybe I was high when I did this, but one time I sat and, like, decided, like, what percentage of humanity would have to, like, be, like, open-minded and loving for the world to just be completely cured. And I think it got to, like, 50%, and I was like, that's enough. Like, we just need to get to 50.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, it just... You just do it, like, one person at a time because, like, once one person is transformed, like, it starts to influence the people around them, like, even though, like, not, like, in a, like, even, like, in an indirect way, even though it's not, like, really clear, but, like, you heal one person, it starts to have, like, a ripple effect. So, yeah, it's, like, if 50% of the world is, like, healed and growing, like, imagine, like, the effect that it has on the people around them, and it just, it's, like, a domino effect. But we're definitely not there yet, and, like, we may not be the ones to see it in our lifetime, which is why it's important for us to raise children that will, like, you know, continue the healing. But yeah, that's I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe I do need to have a kid or two. Two kids.
I think you should wait till you're 40. I think people can have babies.
Yeah.
Well into their 50s
for
now.
For sure.
I mean, if you can afford it.
Yeah, that's why I need my rich husband and or... Well, I also want to, like, be independently wealthy and also have a rich husband. I mean, it's not a requirement, but that would help.
It would be nice.
I'm manifesting a rich husband.
I mean, you're literally living in Silicon Nation. Like, you... Right? Like, can you just, like, go stand outside of, like, can you, like, go to Cupertino and just, like, get on a shuttle bus and just, like, wait for some hot billionaire to sit down?
Yeah, I don't think they're taking the shuttle bus to work. But, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of rich dudes around here. But, I've yet to really meet any ones that I like. I have actually... made a profile on this website for meeting wealthy men. It didn't work out so great, and I gave up on it.
Was it like Sugar Baby?
Something like that. No, it wasn't that exact website, but it is like in that general realm. Because I have a friend. She has a friend who's a billionaire, and I'm just like, damn, girl, like, get it.
I know. I just want a rich man to buy me a house and then, like, just bugger off. Like, I just need you to buy the house.
Right.
I'll handle it after that.
Yeah, but it's,
I
like...
I just want you to buy it.
But usually, like, you know, you got to put in a little more effort on your end to get to that point. And I'm just like, am I willing to put in that effort? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I legitimately like giving hand jobs, so, like, I feel like I could do it.
You could. Yes, you can.
Oh my God. Well, it was so nice having you on the show, Chi Chi.
Yes, thank you for having me. I loved talking with you. This was really fun.
Where can people find your podcast and your book if they want to check them out?
Yeah, so my podcast is called The Sistriarchy Sessions. That's spelled Sistriarchy. Like, it's like the patriarchy, but like instead of patriarchy, it's cis. Like sister, not like cisgender.
Right.
And my book is called Dare to Express. You can buy it on Amazon only right now. And then you can find me on Instagram as well, Chi_loves_you, because I do.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I'm going to add you too.
Yeah.
I haven't even added you on Instagram yet. I'm such a lazy bones.
It's okay. I have not really been on Instagram much lately, so...
No worries. I only go on to look at, like, workout videos and men with bulges. It's really soul-sucking, but it's what I do now. It's, like, my thing.
Yeah. I look at, like, dog and astrology memes and sometimes pop culture memes.
So many good dog things.
Yeah, so many good dog things. Oh, my God. So much good dog stuff.
And then, like, I watched this video of a baby, like, an Italian baby speaking Italian and, like, talking with their hands, like, really, like, intensely.
Like an Italian person?
Yeah, it was like, oh, my God, this is, like, they teach them this at, like, day one, like, to put their fingers together and, like, whatever the hand gestures with your fingers together. It's, like, do it all the time.
They actually, I thought that was, like, a stereotype. They actually do that?
Well, this baby was. Maybe they just taught the baby to do it so they could get some, like, hits on their meme or their reel or whatever. Yeah.
It's always about engagement. It's always about engagement.
Oh, engagement.
Oh, I know.
I'm, like, so disengaged.
Same.
Bye, Chi Chi.
Bye.
All right, friends, that's our show this week. Don't forget, again, please like, rate, review, subscribe. Your support to this podcast makes this podcast possible. It means the world to me. And if you want to email sexy stories or questions and comments, please email makesexwithmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find a link to that in the show notes. Also, check out our new link tree in the show notes for all of our socials. And I hope you're filling all your holes with whatever makes you happy. Goodbye.